From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, reflecting on a classic Dallas Mavericks career. First, though, just hours after a New York Staten Island grand jury decided not to indict a police officer in the chokehold death of Eric Garner, the Dallas Faces Race Conference held its scheduled millennial call to action. Activists young and old met to answer the question, what does racial justice mean to you? Colette Flanagan from Mothers Against Police Brutality said it's time to go to Washington. She's leading eight other mothers of unarmed men killed by police who will testify in front of Congress next week.
We want them to see the real faces of police brutality. Mothers who have lost their children forever and the ripping of the social contract of our children being murdered to the very institution that we entrusted them.
Flanagan's only son, Clinton Allen, was killed last year in Oak Cliff by a Dallas police officer. He was 25, a millennial. 27-year-old Juliana Bradley is also a millennial. She spoke last night about the imbalance of opportunity for people in her age group whose lives could change the world.
Too many people are stuck in systems of generational poverty and are held back by systems of structural racism in the criminal justice system or in their education systems. And it's not fair. And my life's work is to combat all of those things so that equality and equity can become possible.
The state moves forward today on a project to improve mental health services for veterans. More than 50 people will learn in a webinar how to apply for grants from the Texas Veterans Initiative. It's a public-private partnership using $1 million in state money to help fund some creative regional programs. The nonprofit Meadows Mental Health Policy Institute in Dallas will evaluate the programs. CEO Tom Luce told me the idea is to fill in the gaps in mental health services for veterans.
The Veterans Administration, for instance, doesn't deal with family issues that may arise within a family. That's just one, for instance. There are also evolving treatment programs that are innovative, emphasize peer networks, peer support groups, and a lot of research is showing those are the most effective programs. And what we're hoping to do is generate more and more local involvement.
Sort of more of a closer to the ground, a grassroots approach?
Yes, there's a lot of evidence that shows that's the key thing. Get fellow veterans involved, get somebody to persuade somebody, look, I've gotten some help. Let me help you get some help. There's various different soldiers react in different ways to different approaches. The needs of someone who lives in Levelland, Texas, for instance, may be completely different than somebody who lives in Laredo or somebody who lives near a VA. And what we're hoping to do is build sustainable local capacity by finding what works and helping them with some initial seed funding to help them get started and prove things work.
Could you tell me exactly how this private-public partnership works?
We'll be monitoring the programs, providing data that shows whether or not the programs work, because if you're funding innovative programs, some will work and some won't. And we know that, but that's what we need to do to expand the reach of help for veterans who need it.
Eventually, you hope to get state support for this?
Yes. Well, let's say we end up funding 40 programs. And 3 or 4 years from now, we can go to the state and say, look, here's evidence that 10 of these are really knocking the lights out. And what we'd suggest you do is provide some incentive funds for local communities to scale these successful 10 programs. That would be the hope.
How did you come to be involved in this?
Well, I'm like most people. I had some history of mental health needs in my family. I knew how difficult the issue was, and the Meadows Foundation had been working on this issue for some time and approached me about starting this nonprofit. And our programs across the state have kind of grown over time in a way that I don't think today we're delivering efficient and effective services to our citizens, and I think we can improve what we do.
Tom Luce, thank you for being with me.
Thank you.
Tom Luce is CEO of the Meadows Mental Health Policy Institute. There's more information about this at KERANews.org. Okay, let's rewind from the buzzer beater Monte Ellis sank last night to win it for the Dallas Mavericks against Milwaukee, and remember Steve Nash. He became an all-star with the team, and in his time here, Nash helped to transform the Mavs from among the NBA's worst teams to one of the league's elite franchises. This week, our big screen team talks about a new documentary called Nash.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA.
And I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And today we're talking about Nash, which is the new documentary about Steve Nash. Longtime Mavericks fans, of course, remember his six seasons here in town. I think you and I, Chris, thought we knew a lot about this guy, having watched so many Mavericks games. But I know I learned a lot from watching this film, and I think you did as well.
I learned a lot about his time here, Stephen, in Dallas. I didn't realize quite how badly the fans treated him at the very start, and I also didn't realize how bad his injuries were at the very start, which contributed to some of that booing, or at least the performance that brought that booing on.
Yeah, he signed a really big contract to come here from the Phoenix Suns. He was immediately paired with the Mavericks' first-round draft pick, Dirk Nowitzki, and the thought was this was going to be the beginning of something good. Of course, it was the beginning of something good, but there were some growing pains on the way there. And Nash talks in the film about how getting booed by the hometown crowd actually was something that turned him into a better player long term.
We played Charles Barkley and the Houston Rockets, so it was packed. The fans in Dallas were, used to the last place team, and the whole arena booed me every time I touched the ball. You know, a lot of people would say, what a horrible experience, but, looking back, it was a great experience. You know, it really motivated me, and it built a lot of toughness and thick skin.
I have to admit, I was a little surprised when I saw there was a documentary about Steve Nash, because he's certainly a likable guy, but he's not the biggest personality in the world.
Yeah, Stephen, the thing about Nash that really hit home for me here, what I was kind of aware of before, is his social consciousness. He really has a sense of what's going on in the world. President Obama is in this documentary. You're not going to see the President of the United States in a lot of, films about NBA basketball players.
We actually talked to Michael Hamilton, the director of this film, and asked him why he thought Nash was a worthwhile person to follow.
Everybody knows about the boisterous, outgoing athlete that's, always on the highlight reel. And Steve was kind of more, he was a reservist, but he's a superstar in his own right. And I just thought he had an intriguing story and, what he's been able to do on and off the court.
So obviously, people listening to this program will be interested in Nash's Dallas years. And when you look back at that footage of him and a very young Dirk and Michael Finley and guys that were on this team almost 10 years ago, what did you think about those times?
I mean, those were, for me, really fun basketball watching years. When I came here from California, the Mavericks are the one team I adopted here, and that's largely because of that dynamic.
And there's something really special about watching a team on the rise. We all knew that those guys were going to be something special, and they ultimately were. Unfortunately, Nash had to go somewhere else. He returned to the Phoenix Suns to have his really best years, but ultimately, Dirk wins a championship here, and you could see the seeds of all of those guys really blossoming into superstars in the early footage of their Mavericks days, which you see in this film.